Obviously, with the weekend just gone, there's been football on people's minds, and at the moment I'm still smiling. I'm an Eagles supporter. The Dockers supporters, well, they did really well, but they go to next year now. And always around this time of the year, September, I was thinking about it, it's often easier if your team doesn't make it because you don't get as stressed. You know, there's a cost to actually winning. But I was thinking about this whole football thing, and I remember, I've always been pretty passionate about football, about supporting teams. And I remember as about a 9 or 10 year old, I got into really barracking for West Perth in the local Waffle League. Now, at that point, I barracked for Carlton as well, but that's all right. 1 out of 2 is not bad. But I barracked for West Perth, and I remember one night particularly. It was a Friday night, and I was at home, and I was in my bedroom. It was about 9 o'clock at night. And they were playing my cousin's team, Swan Districts, the next morning, next day. And I thought, if they get beaten, he's going to tease me. And so I knelt down and I prayed. I said, God, something like this. West Perth have really got to win this one. Can you help them to win? And I don't know where the prayers went, but anyway, I prayed that sort of stuff. And anyway, they lost. And I remember thinking to myself at some point there was, is God interested in this sort of stuff? Is God interested in the result of a football game? I mean, I'm 9 or 10 at this point. And then I remember thinking, how can I get God to give me what I want? How can I move him to a place where he actually comes through for me? I've still been asking that. But you know, I've matured a little bit now. I don't pray for football game results now. I just yell at the TV. Ah, it's a stupid thing, but anyway. September madness. It always works out. I'm preaching around this time of the year. So I might stand up here next week with a big smile, with an eagle scarf, or I might be in mourning, but we'll see. As I was reading through this week, we're reading on Wednesday particularly in the journal readings, because this question, does God always come through, I think is a question sometimes we're asking. God's meant to be someone that comes through. And on Wednesday, I was hit with the 3 readings we had all spoke into this for me. So I thought, well, we'll ask the question. Psalm 130. Basically, the psalmist is saying, God, what are you doing? Where are you? Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. God, what are you doing? Hear me from the depths. And then we moved into Daniel chapter 6, and it's a story, well-known story of Daniel in the lion's den. You know that story? Great story. Now, Daniel was very popular with the king at that point in time, Darius. Daniel was one of the top 3 in the kingdom. There was another 120 leaders and rulers, or they called them satraps. What a name for a ruler, eh? And these other leaders were not impressed with Daniel. They didn't like him. And they wanted to trap him. And they thought the only way we can trap him is his public prayer life, because he was doing everything pretty well. And so they got the king Darius to publish a decree. And the decree meant that this was law. But for the next 30 days, people could only pray to Darius, the king. They couldn't pray to any other god. And if they didn't, they'd be thrown into the lion's den. So sure enough, Daniel hears about the decree, and he goes straight away, as was normal, prayed 3 times a day, publicly prays to his God. The other rulers see it, go straight to the king and say, King, didn't we make a decree that sort of said that for the next 30 days they've got to pray to you only? Yep, that's right. Otherwise they go in the lion's den? Yep, that's right. Well, Daniel has done the other thing. He's prayed to his God. And Darius was pretty upset because he loved Daniel. But he knew he was cornered here. He knew he had to save face. And so he said to Daniel, well, you've got to go into the lion's den, and I hope your God will save you. And we know, many of us know the story. Daniel goes into the lion's den, thrown in. The king can't sleep all night. Next morning at dawn, wakes up, races to the lion's den. Daniel, Daniel, did your dad, God save you? It's okay, king. My God has closed the mouth of the lions. I'm okay. I'm okay. Verse 23 of Daniel 6, it says, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. King Darius takes all the other rulers, throws them in the lion's den. plus their wives, plus their kids, and they all get killed. Pretty interesting end of the story. But isn't that how it's supposed to be? The goodies win and the baddies lose. God comes through. Daniel was saved because he had trusted in his God. The next reading for that morning was from Luke chapter 3. And it's the story of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist came into this world to basically pronounce the good news as a forerunner to Jesus. Basically saying, this is what is coming. Jesus Christ is coming. He's the King. He's the Lamb of God. Repent, repent, repent. And it says he exhorted them to follow the good news. But he also rebuked Herod. He actually pointed out to different people, this is what you're doing wrong, and this is what you need to do. And he said, Herod, you're sleeping with your brother's wife, and that is not right. You need to repent of that. Now, Herod wasn't real thrilled about that. He liked John the Baptist, but he wasn't thrilled about that, so he threw him into prison. And Herodias was the woman he's sleeping with. She hated John the Baptist and wanted to kill him, but Herod said, no, we're not going to kill him. Just leave him there for a while. Some of you may know the story that it continues, not in Luke 3, but in Mark 6. The story continues, and John the Baptist is in prison. Herod throws a big party, and Herodias' daughter dances for him, does a great job. Herod offers her anything, up to half the kingdom. She said, Mum, what should I ask for? What you'll ask for is this, the head of John the Baptist on a plate right now. Okay, that sounds like a good thing to get. Asked for it, and Herod realized again he's trapped. He can't go back on his word, so he sends the executioner off, comes back with a plate with John the Baptist's head on it. I think, how does that work? I mean, John the Baptist was a good guy. He prayed. He shared the gospel. I reckon the disciples would have been praying for him in prison. He trusted God. He was a faithful servant, and he was killed because of the desire of a hate-filled, angry woman. Why didn't God come through here? Daniel in the lion's den. John the Baptist lose his head. Why didn't God come through here? I mean, can God be trusted to come through? Is there something missing here that we should know? Is there something different between John the Baptist and Daniel? Doesn't God look after those who trust him? Doesn't God bless those who trust him? I mean, you would know, either personally or you would know of, people who have been killed as they've taken the gospel somewhere, whether they're missionaries or whatever. You would know of those. Did God come through for them? You know, I was thinking of Linda Hall up in the Philippines, and often her prayer letters include stories of people who are ministering there now, whose son has just been killed, whose father was killed. And you're thinking, does God come through? And yet we also know, either personally or specifically, or we've heard of other stories of missionaries who have been miraculously delivered in awful circumstances. And they said, you know, stories of, oh, there was just an angel were around me and people couldn't get in. And you think, how do we weigh this up? How does God decide? It seems a little unfair that some get the chop and some get go after. Sometimes this whole aspect of the Word of God and us living our life and all this stuff in the world, it seems to raise up more questions than answers. I think this question, does God come through, is one that comes through to us. I mean, if you go back in Daniel chapter 3, a little bit before the lion's den, you got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king then was King Nebuchadnezzar. And he made a statue of himself and said, when the music plays, everyone has got to bow down and worship the statue. Everyone. And of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were friends of Daniel, and they were people who loved God. And when the music played, they didn't worship the statue because they worshipped the living God. And so Nebuchadnezzar finds out about this. And he's furious. And he said to them, now when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, and all the other kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? In verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God that we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Our God is able to rescue. Our God is able to rescue, and even if he doesn't do it how we think, king, he's going to rescue us from you. But no matter what happens, king, we're not going to worship your idol, because we worship God. They were thrown into the blazing furnace. And some of you know that story as well. As they were thrown in, the people who threw them in were killed by the heat. And as the king looked in there, he saw four people walking around. And he says, well, the fourth one looks like the Son of God. And it seems that Jesus appeared in the flames with them. And so Jesus says, when you go through the fire, I'll be there. When you walk in the midst of the waters, they won't overwhelm you, I'll be there. And he was there with them. And they were saved. Yay, God came through again. Seems we flip from one to the other. I mean, if you go to Hebrews 11, the New Testament again, we read Hebrews 11, it's like the hall of faith. Hall of faith. And it starts off, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And then it goes through a series of people. By faith, so-and-so did this. By faith, this happened. By faith. Gets down to the end of the chapter. Verse 32, and what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon or Barak or Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel and the prophets. Now I want you to enter into this, okay? Pretend your team has just kicked the winning goal in the grand final. What do you do? What do you do? Yeah! Okay, woo! Okay, so I want you to enter in. So when we actually get to a bit, who through faith conquered kingdoms? Yeah! Can you do that? Let's practice, ready? Faith conquered kingdoms. Very good. Administered justice and gained what was promised. Yeah! Who shut the mouths of lions. Yeah! Who quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword. Yeah! Whose weakness was turned to strength. Yeah! And who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Yeah! Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Yeah! Others were tortured and refused to be released so they might gain a better resurrection. Some received jeers and floggings while still others were chained and put in prison. Hang in there with us. Gets better. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. Yeah! They were put to death by the sword. Come on! They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted and mistreated. Yeah! They wandered in deserts and... where am I up to? The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yeah. Do you find it gets harder to sort of yeah towards the back end of that? Yeah. Why? Because it doesn't seem so exciting, does it? Conquering kingdoms and shutting mouths and miraculous things. That's a yeah thing. These were all commended for their faith. Yeah. That's the reality. They were all commended for their faith. They hadn't actually received everything as they would have liked, but they were all commended for their faith. Okay? But it didn't work out how they wanted it. It didn't work out. Sometimes things just don't work out. There's a change in that. There's a change. It goes from success, yeah, to, in our understanding, what happened? Why didn't God come through? How come they were sawed in two? How come they were still killed and stoned? And where is God in that? But they're all commended for their faith. You know, even in everyday life, We can often get disrupted if it appears that God doesn't come through for us how we think he should. Or we can make assumptions that God is not with us, depending on the circumstances or the results of something. Now, it happens in myriads of places. I mean, people can look at a church and think, well, this church is growing. God must be doing something there. This church is plateauing or is declining. God mustn't be doing anything there. God's always doing stuff. And so we evaluate something. I mean, churches grow for myriads of reasons. One of them may be that God's at work there. There's myriads of other reasons why churches grow. I mean, if we gave $1,000 to everyone that came through the door, this church would grow. Anyone got money? Like, I remember a number of years ago, it wasn't that long ago, but you know, the Burswood Carols. Just prior to Christmas, there's a carols by candlelight at Burswood, and it's a big affair. Animals and everything, it's just huge. And I remember this one particular day, it got washed out. And they were praying and praying and praying that it'd be okay. Finally, they had to cancel it. You know, thousands of hours had gone into this thing. And I remember people saying to me, where was God in that? How come he didn't stop the rain? And yet I've been in scenarios where we've had a game of basketball in the Philippines to minister to people, and it's pelted with rain, and we'll say, look, pray for the rain to stop. We pray and it stops. The next night, pouring with rain, pray for the rain to stop, doesn't stop, no game. You think, how does this work? God's in charge of the rain, surely. I mean, last week we heard a number of experiences of mission. Laurie Tassel was talking about the Thailand experience, and he went through the 5 specific answers to prayer. And we go, yeah! And yet other mission experiences, people have been through, there's sickness in the team, it seems that nothing happens of value. And we struggle to go, yeah. And you think, people prayed here, God was still there here, and God was still there, but he didn't seem to come through. And I went to India for 2.5 weeks a while ago, and we did some great ministry. And we had people praying for us. We had some fantastic experiences. We didn't get anything that smelled of sickness. And some people said, oh, that's because God worked. I think, yeah, it is. But other people go on a mission trip to Singapore, to India, and they get frightfully sick the whole time. And it seems it's a waste of time. And you think, well, people prayed there as well. What's the difference? It can be confusing. So just to anchor this, there's just 4 things I want to leave with us. 4 key things in all this, from my perspective. It is true that evil does sometimes appear to be winning. Okay? But don't be deceived in this. God is sovereign. God is alive and well. He is almighty. He's working. The reality is good people are killed. Awful things happen to godly people. There is great sadness and grief. But evil is not winning. It looks like it for a period of time that we are not on the winning side. And as I said last week, read the end of the book, we've won. But we still have to live that through the frustrations of life. The reality is that sin has polluted the world. It's like there's this huge tin of paint being thrown over the world and everyone's been tainted. And the consequence of sin polluting the world is that people die, is that bad things happen. That's not the whole situation. And as I was reading in Daniel 10 later on this week, Daniel prays, and then the angel comes to him 21 days after. And you can just imagine this angel coming in with a cut wing and a hit over the eye, and he staggers in. He said, the answer came when you prayed, but the spirit prince of Persia blocked me. He said, I had to call the archangel Michael to come and help me, and I've left him with Michael, and I've got here. You think, how bizarre is that? That's what's happening in the heavenlies, we have no idea. There might be spirit princes of South Perth stopping your prayers getting through. Keep praying. Go for it. That's a clear picture that there are stuff happening in the heavenlies that we're not aware of. But keep praying. Keep hanging in there. Keep persevering. It may be 21 days before the answer comes. It specifically says that. Don't give up on that. Keep that fresh fullness of the Spirit in your life. Keep seeking out what God's wanting to give you. So evil does appear to be winning at times. It's not. All right? keep going. I think a second thing there is to remember God's character. We need to remember God is good. I saw a movie, there's an older movie of The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. It wasn't the recent one, it was an older one. And it was a, sort of a second-rate type movie, but there's one picture where the lion's there, the lion representing Jesus. And the two little girls are standing there looking at him, sort of trembling. And the little one says to the other one, is he safe? And the other one says, no, but he's good. And that's sometimes what it is. Is God safe? Doesn't appear to be. But he's good. He's for us. You know, God is love. God is trustworthy. God is faithful. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of grace. God is a God of generosity. Can't stop giving to you. Can't stop it. So we've got to hang on to that. That's the foundation from which we live. Whenever we start thinking number one, we've got to come back to number two. I've got to remember, excuse me. We've got to remember God's character and how he is for us. Totally, totally for us. And he's not just a loving, sort of friendly sort of God. He's powerful. He is Almighty God. And there is stuff happening in the bigger picture that we're not aware of. Hang in there with him. Now, some people think God's not fair. God is super fair. We need to understand that. Life is not fair. Life is not fair. But God is super fair. We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve anything. But Christ died for us. I mean, how good is that? I think sometimes I have to, maybe you as well, have to just go back and think, wait a minute, I don't deserve anything. But Christ died that I might experience the whole feast. I don't deserve crumbs or sardine heads, and he's given me the whole banquet. How good is that? I think about Jesus and I think, well, life wasn't real fair for Jesus either. He didn't do anything wrong, but he gave himself. Went through everything, awful things, that we might live. Hang in there. Hang in there. God is good. So therefore, number three is to trust God. Have faith in God in spite of the results or the circumstances, because they don't tell the whole story. The circumstances don't give the whole picture. And Corinthians tells us, Paul tells us, to focus on what is unseen, eternal stuff rather than what is seen. We need to trust God. We don't know the whole story. God does know the whole situation. And sometimes, for some unknown reasons, he allows awful things to happen. You know, we ask that question, why God? And I think to myself, sometimes the answer to that question is not there. And sometimes the answer to that question is not helpful. It won't help us. So the question in any scenario of mess is to say, not why, but God, how do I now respond? What do I do now? What do I do now? Rabbi Zacharias is a world sort of renowned preacher and author, and he made this comment as I was listening to a tape of his once. He said, if in the midst of a crisis you turn away from God, then in heaven's name, to whom do you turn? What's the other options? You know, trust in yourself? That's pretty solid. Where do we go? So if we look at it from that perspective, in heaven's name, whom do we turn to in the midst of a crisis? I was talking to a friend of mine recently, and she has been through a lot of stuff. I won't say she's been through more than you, but she's been through a lot of pain and grief in her life. And in the midst of it, I just said to her, have you ever been disappointed with God in all of this? She laughed. She said, disappointed with God? She said, he's the one that's been my rock in the midst of all this stuff. He's the one that's held me together. He's the certainty in the midst of the uncertainty. Why would I be disappointed with God? And I thought, oh, it makes sense, doesn't it? Trust God. Too easy to say. Pretty hard to do at times. But what are the other options? God is good. God loves you. Who better to trust? Who better to put your faith in? He knows the whole scenario. We've seen from other stories, it doesn't always turn out nice to godly people. We know that. We still seem to have some desire within us that it works out nice all the time for us. And so if you're in a mess, if you're in a crisis, be honest with Him. Cry out for mercy. Cry out for grace. Cry out for wisdom. Cry out for discernment. Tell Him how you're feeling. Tell Him what's happening. Be honest with Him. Whatever you need, tell Him. He's not going to sort of say, well, give me a break. You asked for that yesterday. Share it with Him. So I encourage you to share it with others too, who can pray for you also. You know, you want to shorten the 21 days for the answer to prayer to get through. Get others involved. Use the care cards. There's people or things that you're trying to work through. Use the care cards and say, can you pray with me on this? Share whatever details you need. God can be trusted. God can be trusted. I guess the fourth thing here for me is that God can redeem situations too. God is the redeemer. He can take your present situation and He can redeem it. He can use it. He can change it. He can bring life out of it. Sunday night we had Peter Pollock here. Peter Pollock was an ex-South African cricketer. And he shared at one point the story of Hansie Cronje. Hansie Cronje was the captain of South Africa in the late 90s and took them to arguably probably the top team in cricket, world cricket. And Hansie Cronje was known as being a Christian. But at some point, Hansie Cronje accepted money from a bookmaker, as did a number of people. South Africa, they basically crucified him. They had a commission, found him guilty, and he was basically wiped out. And he came with his wife to Peter Pollock and said, Peter, I'm in a mess. And so in the course of the discussion, basically Peter said, you need to get dinking with Jesus. You need to get right with Jesus. You need to be repentant and realizing that Jesus is the one that can do something with you. Got baptized the next day, and people prophesied over Hansie and said, Hansie, God is going to use you to touch this nation. Not long after that, he was killed in a plane crash. And it's like, what does this mean? And Hansie's wife said to Peter, can you speak at his funeral? And don't talk about people. Talk about Jesus. Peter said, I got to speak at his funeral and share the gospel for an hour on live TV that went to 26 million people in South Africa. God used Hansie Cronje to touch a nation for His kingdom, for His glory. Not how we might have expected. But God can redeem situations. He did it with the cross. Devastation. Jesus is killed, died, crucified. Disciples are thinking, what's going on? That king, he was meant to be the king. How's this going to work? We know the story. That's Jesus, we might say. But God did raise him from the dead. Wow. God can do stuff. God didn't raise Hansie Cronje from the dead. But He redeemed the situation that was very awful back here for His glory. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. Sometimes awful things happen. We can trust God in that. We have to trust God. There's nowhere else to go. Get others praying for you. Believe that God can redeem situations. What is your response to this? What statement do you believe God is wanting for you to say to God right now? I think of the prophet Habakkuk. The whole nation of Israel was they'd been taken away into captivity. Absolute mess. Habakkuk 3 verse 17. The prophet Habakkuk says, there's no food in the shops. There's no food in the ground. There's no harvest. There's no sheep. There's no cattle. There is nothing good at the moment. But then he says those classic words, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. No reason except the reality of God. No reason. Maybe that's a statement God's saying, I want you to say that today. Even though all of this stuff's happening, yet I'll rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And there are some tough things happening in your lives. I know some of them. Even as I look around here this morning, I know some of them. But God knows way more, and He's able to do far more. Can we just close your eyes? Father, at this point, You're wanting us to experience You. You've given everything for us. You love us. And You want us to know the reality of Your presence. You want us to respond in faith. But what does it mean for each of us to respond in faith in the circumstances we're in right now? Let's invite You silently to make some sort of statement to God. It might be a call for mercy. It might be a statement of thanks. Father, for those people here this morning who don't know You, they've never given their life to You, Father, I pray for Your Holy Spirit to remind them that Christ died for them. I pray that they would this morning realize the value and the essential nature of having to give their lives to You. Father, I pray that people this morning here will give their lives to You. If you're not a Christian here this morning, I just encourage you to make some sort of statement to God as to where you're up to in this journey of faith. Father, we thank You again for what You're able to do in our lives. We thank You for the encouragement of Your Holy Spirit. May we continue to walk free. May we continue to walk by faith, trusting You in spite of what happens. I thank You that You do come through, not even in ways that we think or understand. Not often in our timing, but thank You that You come through. Help us to keep trusting You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you heaps.